The following audio is from Living Axe Church in Tyler, Texas. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Living Axe Church.
Good morning. It's great to see a crowd like this on Sunday. My name is Bob Piantonita. I'm one of the elders here at Living Axe. And this morning, the topic's going to be spiritual gifts. And it's probably not going to be a very long message. And I'm not going to be speaking in specific on each gift. It's going to be more about how the gifts are fleshed out in the community. So I hope this will be helpful. We're going to be looking primarily at 1 Corinthians 12, a couple passages in Exodus, and then one in Ephesians. And so, and through that, we're going to be looking at the source of our spiritual gifts, the unifying nature, and that they glorify, some help in detecting what your spiritual gift is, and we're going to look at an example in Scripture. But before that, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the incredible gift that we have of our salvation in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have loved us before the foundation of the world, and that you have wooed us and drawn us and given us new life. You've regenerated us, and you've given us your Spirit. And Father, he animates us. He gives us holy desires and steers our heart toward you. Father, I pray that you would honor your word this morning, that you would bless your word as it goes forth. I pray for us as we hear that we would be good ground hearers. I pray that you would bless this message this morning. I pray that I would fade in the background, and the concepts and the truths from your word would come forth and hold us captive. God, we thank you for your love for us. And I thank you that you are making all things new in Jesus, and that your Holy Spirit is working in us your pleasure. We commit this time to you now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The emphasis, let me see, I was going to have somebody do a scripture reading this morning, but that didn't take place. So what I'm going to do first is have posted for you Ephesians 2:22, and then 1 Corinthians 12:4-11, if we can get that up. There we go. Ephesians. And in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, this is where we're going to spend the bulk of our time this morning in this passage. And I'll just read that. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. As I looked at this passage, what I see emphasized here, and it's rather obvious, I think, is the fact that it's the Spirit that's being manifested. Okay? That's the focus, not the manifestation. Okay? It's the Spirit that's being manifested, not specifically the manifestation. The manifestations are mentioned, but only in terms of the one Spirit who's behind them all. Okay? So it's kind of like, I was thinking about this morning, and there was this weird weird kind of creepy cartoon I used to see when I was real young, and they don't have it on the air anymore. But it wasn't really a cartoon. It was more like, I guess it was to get kids to appreciate music and then hold their attention. And it was a black background, and there were these two white gloves that would move, and they would do things. They might take a cube and spin it. And it was against this backdrop of black. And the person must have been wearing black sleeves, because all you saw were these white gloves, you know. And it had this kind of weird music. Like I said, it was kind of creepy. Maybe that's why it's not on TV anymore. But this is when I was very young. I was thinking about that this morning, that you see the gloves, which in this instance might be an example of the gifts. But behind the gloves, or in the gloves, are actually what's animating the gloves. And that's the emphasis, I think, that is being made here in this first portion, that it's the spirit that's being manifested, okay? Without the spirit, without the hand and the glove, there's nothing. So I want us to keep that in view as we move on through this morning. The next part is, it says in verses 12 through 13, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and were all made to drink of one spirit." And as I look at this passage, I think the point that's being made here is that the body hasn't gained its unified status from the agreement of the parts. Okay, the parts don't get together and go, "What do you think? Why don't we be agreed on all this?" That's not where the unified status comes from. But rather from the fact that the body is one. It's just a fact. The body is one. We are his new creation. There's so much language about this in the epistles, and that we are a new creation. God is the creator of all things, and he speaks things in existence in Genesis, and we see through his word the word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, and us being born through the word, coming into being through the word and through his spirit. So we are his new creation. We didn't invent the unity, okay? We live in light of the unity. We're called in Ephesians 4, "Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So we're not called to, we don't create it, we don't invent it, but we are called to maintain it. If you think about it for a minute, I have these analogies, and some of them may be a bit weird. The oddness of, we don't have to put human beings through a training when they're very young on how to get along with your body. You know, we don't have to tell them, "Listen, you need to learn how to work with your hands." And well, I mean, they do learn that, but I mean, we don't have to tell them, "Don't be antagonistic towards your hands. Don't get angry at your feet. Don't, you know," all these things are, we don't have to teach them that. They are one. They are a body, and they don't have to work at trying to get them to get along. The only time you have an issue like that is if sickness is introduced and you've got now medical professionals involved in trying to keep the body from attacking itself. So anyway, there's unity because we're one body, okay? And we don't invent the unity, we live in light of it. And I guess you can see the analogy that because of the disharmony brought on because of sin being introduced into the world and into us, we have to have this instruction. It's not just, I mean, it's almost automatic in the fact that God gives us his spirit and he works this in us, but we're also admonished to maintain the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. So if we're one body, how do I find out what my giftings are as an individual? You know, you ever wonder that? I was sharing this with Brandon, and he said, "Yeah, it'd be almost like if someone were to say to you, if someone could spend the day with you, and at the end of the day they could say, 'Well, here's your gifts, and this is how they're to be used within the body, and this will bring you fullness of joy. You'll glorify God, and and you'll be full of joy in employing your gift. Would you be willing to do that? Would you want to hang around with someone who could do that? You know, if you could spend a day with someone and they could actually give you that information. And so I think all of us would. I think deep in the heart of each Christian is question of why am I here? How are you going to glorify yourself through me, Lord? I want to glorify you. Please show me how. And he doesn't leave us out there hanging. Okay, so this is really cool. And that there's a clue, okay, that I want to give you here. Remember, if your spiritual gifts are given for the benefit of the body, okay, so the body plays an integral part in recognizing that benefit to itself. Okay, if your spiritual gifts are given for the benefit and the building up of the body of Christ, it only stands to reason that the body would play a part in assessing that, in affirming that. Okay, so again, this is one of the reasons why we need to be in community. It's so important. There's no such thing as, not in the New Testament, you won't find it, this solo Christianity. Okay, it's always in terms of the church, in terms of the body. It's where we gain strength. We gain more and more grasp on our identity in Christ. We grow in grace. we're exposed more and more to Christ through his body. I mean, growth takes place in the body. If you take a Christian and sort of, you know, remove them from that fellowship, you're going to see dwarfism, sort of a spiritual dwarfism in that person's life. And it's amazing when you see someone newly converted and they get plugged in, they just, I've seen people take off. And they just, their passions change, their values change, their vision for their life as a result of that changes. And all that comes from something that we see rather, you know, sometimes we don't see the obvious, and it's being plugged into the body. So there's a direct correlation to my connection in and with the body and my growth in Christ. And Jesus, I'm not going to read it, but in John 15, he talks about, I'm the vine, I'm the vine, you're the branches, so on and so forth. And apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's as we come together in community that our gifts are manifested, okay? And now I've shared this before, I believe, with you guys. I know I've done it in small group before. I'm really indebted to Tim Keller for his insights regarding this. He's observed that there are three areas that lend themselves to gift discovery, okay? And those areas are affinity, ability, and opportunity. Okay, affinity, ability, and opportunity. The first one, affinity, what is that? That would be sort of a question that someone might ask you. What do you see? What's needed? What do you feel that's needed? There's a subjective side to it. What do you gravitate towards or you have a desire for? That would be your affinity, okay? Ability would be, does your service in this area bring blessing to others as well as yourself? Okay? Opportunity, simply, does the opportunity present itself naturally for you to employ it? Now, the other thing is, secondly, the person with the gift recognizes its usefulness and feels good about employing it. In fact, when employed, they derive a sense of satisfaction and purpose, but only in terms of its being connected to the whole. And as they're employed in connection with the whole, they give off a fragrance that smells good to everyone. Okay? I'm going to give you an example. And this happened just this past week in Growth Group, Thursday night. I don't know if Michael Mistret is here. He's what? Oh, okay. Well, those of you who have ever met Michael, he kind of looks Jewish. It's amazing. The guy's from Canada. He's not Jewish. But he just fits the description. Anyway, Michael came to our small group Thursday night to share what his vision was and that he's going to be going to Israel, and he's going to do some mission work there. And we just as an example of what I'm talking about right here, the affinity, the ability, the opportunity, let me just see, I'm just going to tell you about what happened that night, and it's just a living example to me of this. He sat there, and gosh, I don't know, maybe 40 minutes, he shared with us sort of his pilgrimage along the way as he's reading scripture, particularly about God's people, the Israelites, and how they play into scripture, and what part do they play today, what part does the church play with them today. It was amazing. He had a tremendous grasp on the Bible, okay? And he was excited about what he was sharing. All of us were on the edge of our seat, I think. And afterwards, you know, about three quarters of the way through, I'm like, man, the church needs to hear this. This is so good. And the church will get to hear it. I believe it's in March 9th. Michael's going to come and share. And hopefully he'll be able to spend a little bit more time in sharing. But what I saw, and it's just, some of this stuff is just rather obvious. The person with the gift, I think I've already shared this, recognizes its usefulness and feels good about employing it. In fact, when employed, they derive a sense of satisfaction. But only in terms of its, as it's connected with the whole. As Michael sat there and he shared with us, it's obvious that Michael Mastretta has a grasp on scripture. Probably his area of gifting is teaching and evangelism. As I listen to him, his grasp on scripture, his ability to take the word of God and unfold it to you, that's one of the attributes of a teacher, if you're given that gift. You're able to take the word of God and sort of bring it to people and help them to understand it, okay? And he did that. Also, his passion for the people of Israel was clearly displayed. So I see some evangelism, perhaps gift of evangelism there. And by the way, just a side note, you may not just have one gift, you may have several gifts. So it's not like just one gift. And your gifts are different, your gifts are not necessarily what your talents are. Okay, all human beings are born with talents. You don't have to be a believer and indwelt by the Spirit of God to have a talent. All human beings have talents. That's just a skill that God has endowed human beings with to do certain things, okay? Now, the danger of trying, or the wrong-headed thinking sometimes, in trying to determine what my spiritual gift is would be, okay, this is my talent, and therefore I know what my spiritual gift is. Not necessarily so. Okay, that's why, again, you have to be plugged into the body, and the body sort of sees this thing and affirms it. The body being the church. Another point, God doesn't gift you with something that you'll hate to employ. Okay? I mean, think of it for a moment. Your nose doesn't hate its job. Okay? Your eyes love what they do. Your hands like being hands. Your feet might complain now and then, but they're stoked about taking the body wherever you want to go. I mean, there's just that harmony there. Okay? And when we sat there and we heard Michael share, you know, afterwards, it wasn't like, oh, I hate doing this, man. I get so bummed out about having to share this, you know. It was obvious this guy loved it. Okay, God's given him that gift. So he loves to instruct, teach, build up, encourage, you know. I wish he was here today just to affirm him, but I think we did that the other night. We were, you know. Anyway, another thing. Okay, so you'll feel at home with your gift, okay? Another thing, it doesn't necessarily mean that the person with the gift recognizes their gift. At first, it may just be what seems logical to them. It just makes sense to them, okay? They're like, I don't know why everybody else doesn't see this, you know? Could we see that slide on Exodus 18? This is rather a long passage, but I'm going to read through it. And as I was thinking about this, I thought of the story. Some of you are probably real familiar with the story of Jethro meeting Moses. Jethro was Moses' father-in-law. And after the Exodus, Moses is out there with thousands and millions of people. I don't know how many there were, but the Israelites. And Jethro and him cross paths. And this is what happens. So I'm just going to read this real quick. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me and decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people will certainly wear out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice, and I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them known to the way in which they are to walk. They must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace." So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times. Any hard case they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves. Okay, remember, affinity, ability, opportunity. Remember those three? Got that middle? Yeah. Okay, this portion of Scripture, as we start seeing that applied. This came to me when I was thinking about this. I thought, boy, I think this is a good example. You actually see all three of them in the passage. Okay? So he meets with Moses, his son-in-law. Now, and I'm speaking specifically here about Jethro. What's Jethro do? He's there, he's observing this, and he saw what was happening, okay? He saw the strain of both Moses and the people wanting their cases to be heard, okay? And he just didn't blow it off. Oh, well, you know, I'll go back to my tent and whatever. But he felt and he was moved for both people. He thought, man, these people are going to wear out, and Moses is going to wear out, and, you know, I mean, maybe he bumped in somebody in line and said, you know, how long have you been standing here? Well, we're, you know, weeks. You know, our turn's coming up. I got somebody hold my spot while I go back. And, you know, so he empathizes with the people. So there's an affinity there with Jethro. Okay? He empathizes and he sees what's going on. Now, not everybody would have that response. Some people would just sit there and this is the way we do it. You know, this is the way we do it. You know, somebody gifted with the gift of organization and helps, they come along, phew, right away they see the problem, and they come out, boom, 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 here's what you need to do. Oh, this is awesome. I've had that happen to me. Emily's not here this morning. I don't mean to embarrass her, but I was over at their house one evening, Austin and Emily's house, and I was sharing some of the stuff and the vision for small groups, and she had some ideas, and I said, well, if you would, just pen those down and put them down on paper for me. Man, I get this elaborate plan. It's all laid out. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Will you be on my committee? You know? Yeah. And so exposure to the body, within the body, these things are revealed. Okay? All three of these areas are visible in this situation in Exodus. And there's no particular order. Okay? It's not like affinity first or, you know, opportunity first or ability. In this case here, it's probably affinity, opportunity, and then ability. okay? But it's not, there's no particular order, but all three of them are present, okay? All three of them are present. As a side note, but no less important, is what Jethro says concerning the choosing of the people for the positions in leading the people of God. Look at what he says here. Jethro points out the foremost upfront concern in choosing of these people is their character, not their abilities. Okay? Verse 21. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God and who are trustworthy and hate a bribe. Okay? There's a lot packed into that right there, but basically it's integrity. We never want to fall prey to the temptation of installing somebody just simply because they have a skill set that we need. Okay? Because they've demonstrated it. We go, oh man, he is awesome. Yeah, he's got some issues, you know. Now again, nobody's perfect, okay? But we need to be very careful about installing people just simply because they display a ability to do whatever. Character is paramount if you're going to be leading the people of God. And if you're currently exercising leadership in a given area right now, those of you who are leading in whatever given area, the person you're mentoring to take your position, which we should all be thinking in those terms, should be a person of character. Okay? You don't have, I just don't know if this comes out, but he's so good, or she's so good in this. We don't want to do that. The world places its premium on results and the outward show of things with little concern of how it arrives there. God places it on faithfulness throughout the entire process. And we're given a warning to take heed how we build, not with wood, hay, straw, but gold, silver, and precious stones. And although that passage is dealing with our good works, you know, judgment at the seat of Christ, I think there's some application here to that. We're building. We are referred in the Bible as living stones in God's temple. And so we want to be careful how we build. So another point is you might think you're good at something, but it takes a greater evaluation of the community to actually confirm it. And like I said earlier, also your gift may not be obvious to you, okay? You may not see yourself as a leader, but people are following you. You know? Tim Keller had this very brief explanation. He said, if you really want to know if you're a leader, is anybody following you? That simple. Okay? So, and again, oftentimes a person with a gift rarely knows that it's theirs at first. It's just, it seems so natural. Here's some questions you might ask. Is your gift being affirmed by the body? Okay? Are people being blessed when you employ it? Are you seeing fruit? If you're teaching, are people being blessed by it? And here's what that might look like. Verbal affirmation. You know, I love what you said, and it was so great. It just helped me understand that passage. You'll also see an increase of dedication to God and his kingdom purposes becoming more and more evident in the people's lives that you're teaching. Okay? You actually see them growing in their love for God, and as a result, you see visual holiness in their lives. Okay? That's affirmation from the body. So, in short, our gifts glorify him, not the individual. Okay? They don't degrade or diminish. There's a unified fragrance about them. Why? Because the gifts are what? They're the manifestation of his spirit. So, of course, they're going to be unified. Okay? And here's where sin is always, we're always fighting that in our camp, every church. And you as an individual believer in your own life, that's the issue you have to deal with. Okay? That's why 1 Corinthians 13 is all about love. Love doesn't do this. And that's the passage that's often read at weddings. But the context of it is living in community. It's almost like we're a bunch of porcupines trying to get really close, you know. And you know, but that'll stop one day. That day is coming, you know, when we're glorified. And we won't be able to offend. We won't be able to sin. We won't be able to. It's crazy. That's awesome. All right, so there's a unified fragrance, and it's because it's one spirit. One of the aims of our small group gatherings is not simply to do a study, okay? It's never just, we're just doing a study, okay? That's not what it's about. It's to lead and aid our people in the discovery of how God has gifted them for his body and to the employment of those gifts for the greater joy and maturity in Christ, who is their very life, okay? So we are all about cultivating, stewarding people. And I used that analogy a number of weeks ago about the steward, two kinds of stewardship, the park ranger and the farmer. Okay, the park ranger is simply, his stewardship is just maintaining what is. This monument, we just make sure it's mowed and kids stay off it. And, you know, and over here we have this. And, you know, he's just maintaining the park. That's his stewardship. That's his job. The stewardship of a farmer, on the other hand, I'm going to take the seed and I'm going to make it multiply, okay? That's the kind of stewardship that we exercise, I should be exercising within the church. In our groups, that's the reason we're doing groups, okay, is to grow people up in the maturity in Christ. It's never just to go there and just, yeah, we're just going through a study on John, you know, and then after that, we're going to go through another book and we're going to talk about marriage. We're wanting to see growth, multiplication, new groups, new leaders. That's what it's all about, disciples. All right, in summary, they're given for his glory. We are all living stones. Every stone's been gifted, okay? Nobody is left out in this. You're a believer here this morning. God's gifted you. If you don't know what it is, I hope by the end of this message it's clear. I need to get plugged into the body so they can kind of be looking at me. You know, and there's things we need to put off that people notice. Hey, you don't really look good dressed in that, you know. But you look really good dressed in him. So it's there that we learn to put off, put on, and we grow in grace. We grow in joy. It's almost magic. I almost hate to use that word, but it's because of the unifying of the Holy Spirit that's there and the power of the Holy Spirit that's there within believers, and especially when they're together. You yourselves, like living stones, this is 1 Peter 2:4. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual gifts, they round out the church, giving it a better look. They give off the aroma of Christ. We give off a better aroma together than we do as individuals. I mean, it's... And partly our coming together is so that when you go off, you pick up the smell and you carry it, you know. I heard a message one time about, and it wasn't about this, but which is why I'm going to share it. And it was about the priest under the old covenant, how the priest could come home and the kids could go, Dad's home, I can smell him. He's been around smoke. He's been around sacrifice. You know when you're around smoke. You carry that smell. People can tell, boy, you've been around a fire, or you smell like barbecue, you know. My wife and I had good barbecue last night, and I proved too much barbecue last night. I tell you, trying to wake up this morning, I'm not going to do that again if I have to speak. You pile on meat, it's a strain on your body. Anyway, so the more when we're together, and then we get separated, and we get into our individual little callings, We carry that smell, we carry that aroma, and people begin to notice, you know, things about your life. And there's an attraction, just like good perfume. There have been times I've been walking through the mall, and I catch a whiff, and I'm like, man, who is wearing that, you know? Pick up that aroma. I don't know how long this is. I wasn't keeping track of time, but I want to close with this passage in Exodus 35. I thought this was interesting. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle was the portable sanctuary where God met with his people, sort of a portable tent. It was a portable tent. And at the creating of the tabernacle, God gifted artisans with the ability to fashion it according to what Moses had described. So Moses received instruction on Mount Sinai. He came down off the mountain. He starts sharing this. And Moses told him about some specific people he was to speak to. Okay? This passage here. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, the Lord God..." Excuse me. Don't chew gum while you're speaking. "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the spirit of..." Excuse me. "And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence." "With knowledge and with all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, and in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood for work in every skilled craft." I'm sorry. Some of you may be going, "What in the world is he getting out of this passage?" I'm sorry. This is like a curse for me. I'm sorry. But it's of the tribe of Judah, okay? That's where Jesus came out of. That's why I'm ending with this. It's interesting to note that the head designer of the tabernacle was from the tribe of Judah, as was Jesus, who is the head and architect of the church. And the Holy Spirit has gifted men and women living stones with gifts for the ministry of his body, the church. I mean, that's what I saw. So, and you know what? The Holy Spirit and the inspiration of Scripture, there's never anything there that's not important. Like this little mention here, of the tribe of Judah, that was just not some happenstance that's in there. That's in there for a reason, okay? You know, I once heard someone who makes movies, you know, they're very expensive to make, so whatever's in the shot is there for a reason, okay? And they play through it, and whatever's in the shot in Scripture is there for a reason. Okay? So, and it reminds me of something now. John Stott's commentary on the book of Acts, he says this in the opening of it, that, and I've shared this before with y'all, Jesus' ministry on earth is being followed by his ministry from heaven. That's the only difference. Okay, people say, "Well, Jesus is gone." He's gone in a way, but he's not gone. There's another passage of Scripture that says, Jesus says, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit." And because of his death and resurrection, his Spirit given to us, now there's millions of Christs, if you will. That's what Christians are, little Christ, if you will, on the earth. So, we are the new tabernacle, and by his Spirit, God is bringing artisans into this new tabernacle, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's really all I have this morning, and I hope that was helpful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that... the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we thank you, God, that you have begotten us by the Spirit and by the Word of truth. And Lord, we confess that we live very frustrated at times in trying to live God-honoring lives. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is working in us. We thank you for your love and your patience with us. God, we see such examples of that. We see the example of Jesus with Peter on the seashore after such a monumental failure in denying you, cursing and swearing that he didn't know you, and yet Jesus looking in his eyes and telling him, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, this thing that's the most dear to you, and trusting it because you knew in confidence, you knew your Holy Spirit in Peter would accomplish these things, and you loved him. God, we can't get our minds adequately around the love that you have for us. Help us to do that. I pray for each one here, Father, that they would be that they would grow in grace and that they would grow in their activity and community, and that their joy would abound, and that their presence would be a blessing to the other members in the body, that some would begin to discover their gifts that maybe even didn't know till today what about this, and that you'd help them to discover those gifts, to employ them for your glory and for their greater joy. God, we thank you that you truly are making all things new, and all things will culminate one day. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will return one day. God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the gospel. And we thank you for placing us in Jesus, for working in us your pleasure, that what you've begun, you will carry it through. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob, so much for delivering that message. And I want the quote for what small groups, in the message you actually stated, like, this is what small groups are for. And it was like, took my breath away. It was really good. And thank you guys so much for doing worship for us. It was awesome today. Thank you, honey. It was good. You guys have a seat for just a minute. I got a quick announcement, two quick announcements, actually, and then I'm going to send you home, send you packing. These are exciting times at Living Acts, guys. I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I think I said it last week. I prayed when we started Living Acts, I prayed so much that God would give me a church that I would just have to hurry and run and keep up with and just try to keep up with and manage. And it's true. Everything that Bob is saying is really us trying to teach and lead behind the work of the Holy Spirit already present in our church. There are people's gifts really starting to come to the surface, and we're just trying to do the best we can and lead it well. And so you guys can actually have a seat if you want, or you can stay. You can stay if you want. You can play while I'm talking, because don't churches do that? Doesn't it supposed to help a little bit? You can, like, do a little background music, so, yeah. Now, we're really excited for what's going on, and actually, kind of a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, somewhat, so to speak, from what Bob was saying. We want to do a better job of leaders, and especially as we progress as a church, we want to do a better job at being able to help you facilitate your gifts in the body. You'll have to ask our forgiveness for the most part, because we as churches tend to do what we think we should do by looking next door. Our conferences look like our Sunday mornings. Our Sunday mornings look like our small groups. We basically specialize, and then we put those people up front as the pros, and then you're all sitting there. The body really isn't being displayed, but we're actually talking about how can we actually promote a more healthy corporate expression and demonstration of the Spirit's work in the body in a multitude of different areas. And that's the kind of things that we're thinking about as we go forward at Living Acts. How do we help the whole body just come alive? And for you to see that on a Sunday morning is something we're thinking about. Like, how do we promote that? How do we want to see that inflame more and more and more? Because it's there. I mean, you guys are just, it's there. Maybe looking, more like 1 Corinthians 14. I mean, just read it. It's scary for Baptist people. But there it is. But the body is definitely, you see it. And the church says, amen. Amen. Thank God that so many people are being blessed and gifted by the Holy Spirit. So anyway, excited about that. If you're a small group leader, we're going to be invading your small groups and talking about some of these ideas as well as the one I'm fixing to mention. So just be, you know, we're letting you know these things are kind of right on top of us. Some things have happened. We've just got to invade. So we're probably just going to start showing up and in the small groups. So if you attend a small group, plan on being there for the next couple of weeks, maybe even 3 weeks, because there's some important information that's going to be shared. The big information, the big thing that I'm delaying, but I'll just tell you, the exciting thing is that we're 95% sure that we have finally found a building. And here's what's funny. I knew this would happen. The setup people yelled the loudest. So for the next however long, if you're not that happy, set up on Sunday morning. You will be very happy, okay? We're 95% sure we found a building. And just to give you a short little clip as to how it happened, a good friend of ours and whose daughter attends here at Living Acts had actually pointed this place out to us. I'll tell you where it is in a second in case you're like, where's he talking? Where is it? Pointed us out to me, and we went, me and Corey and I went to go look at it, and we saw the place, and it was pretty much exactly what retail is now in this particular space, in this part of Tyler. And we looked at it, it was great and everything, but we just told the guy, like we've said, I don't know, 100 times really, it looks great, it's a reasonable offer, but to be honest with you, we'd probably have to do like half that. So it was almost a farewell statement. And but the guy said, the guy that's the realtor for the property said, okay, well, tell you what, I'll get back with you. And that's kind of one of those don't call me, I'll call you kind of deals. So we just, honestly, I wrote it off. But Corey could probably clean up the details of this a little bit, but he contacted me and was really wanting to work something out. Well, honestly, I thought we were talking nickels here, so I didn't even bother. It's terrible as a pastor. I didn't even bother. But I told Corey, I said, I think this guy really wants to get in touch with us. So I was like, okay, well, let's call him and see what's going on. And Corey called me, which, to hear Corey this excited, I mean, he was stoked. Like, somebody call me back. You know, I have good news. He had actually called me and said that the guy, that the realtor, said that he went back, prayed about it with a small group. It's a Christian. So I actually didn't even know that. Prayed about it with a small group and said that he actually wants to give it to us for half. Which, guys, is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So he called me and said, this is phenomenal. We're never going to find, you know, this is this place, the location, everything's great. It's in Southeast Crossing. If you're familiar with Fat Cats and Smash Burger and all that, there's the old Electric Cowboy. Know what I'm talking about? So I don't know what it is with LAC and dance places, honestly. We just, maybe God's trying to tell us something. Some of you are like, I remember that. You know, I remember that. Yeah. It's gonna be a little awkward, but it's okay. Anyway, it's huge. It's got a big meeting space, it's got plenty of room for childcare and some additional space, a little bit close to it. That we could actually rent out and lease for additional space, maybe for nursery. But we won't lie to you. Next week, we're going to do a presentation, and we're actually going to kind of press on you a little bit. God has done an amazing thing. He's provided an incredible way. You know, thankfulness, you know, over and over and over, my heart is just flooded with it. But at the same time, we're going to have to, you know, get our act together a little bit as a church, too. So we need to talk about giving. We do. Even with this outstanding offer, we're still way behind. So we need to address that next week. We need to talk about it together. So wed that together with the thankfulness in our hearts that we have for God providing for us as a church and still giving us the opportunity to excel in the grace of giving the way that we should. So he hasn't taken that off the plate. We still need to do that. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you. That's big family news. LAC's moving. It's great. Now, like I said, next week, just plan on this week. We're going to come to the small groups. We're going to share a little bit more in the small groups in a little bit more of a dialogue fashion. Next Sunday, it'll be me, Mark, and Corey. We'll all get up here, and we'll address presentation on the building, the specifics, the all of that. So it'll be a business meeting slash sermon slash kicking the pants. I don't know. It'll be all kinds of things. It'll be all good things. So just plan on being in attendance next Sunday and help set up, too. And the joy will just be in your heart while you're doing it. So it'll be really great. So let me close in prayer. And again, thank you, Bob, for your work on the message. And it was truly a blessing, and worship team and everybody else that's helped out. God, we love you. And thank you so much for the love that you have given us and displayed for us in your Son. We are thankful for every good and perfect thing that has just come down from you, Father of Lights. You are continuously pouring out blessings and mercies every morning. You are so rich in giving toward us. You are abundant. You gave us your Son. We are overwhelmed as every day we are experiencing more and more and more of your blessings. And as we contemplate and think about the ways that we have rebelled against you, it softens our hearts. How can you be this good? But you are. You're outstanding. You're breathtakingly good. And here we are yet in another beautiful day, enjoying more of your provision. Thank you for providing for us this facility, for bringing it to us. Thank you for giving your kids what you knew they needed, and really right when we needed it. You are so good. And forgiveness on my behalf for doubting you even a fraction. For being able to come through. You know what we need. You always provide. You did not spare your Son. And so you are freely just giving us so many other things on top of that. Thank you for that. And God, I just pray for this church that as we move into this next sector, that with all of these blessings that are coming and the growth we're experiencing and all of that, there's a lot required of all. There's just going to be more for everybody. But as we bear each other's burden, as we bear more of the load, that it will fall. It'll be a light load. And we'll continuously look to you, Christ, to carry us through whatever season you've got for us next, which I know is going to be great and blessed. But let each one in the body experience the filling of the Holy Spirit and the power as we move forward. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you guys.
Thank you for listening. For more information on Living Acts Church, please visit our website, www.livingactschurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/livingactschurch.